Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. I've been thinking about the things that go on during the Christmas season and everything, and when you're out and about and you see so much going on, with people rushing around trying to get this done, getting that done, you see the word stress written all the way across it. Is that right? But Christmas is not supposed to be stressful. But when you read in the Bible, there were stressful situations in people's lives, and it's because they lost their focus. And in the passage of Scripture selected today is Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. And it has to do with Martha and Mary. We've probably read this before. Martha was busy cooking a big, huge dinner for Jesus, and Mary, she had something, her priorities were a little bit different. But Martha wasn't very happy because she felt like she was left alone doing all the preparation. And we find ourselves in a similar situation, no matter whether it's December, or it can be any time of the year. But follow along with me as I begin with verse 38. Luke chapter 10, 38. Now as they were traveling alone, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Now that would be pleasant, wouldn't it? That would be very peaceful, sitting with Jesus, or just sitting at his feet, listening to the wisdom that he would be sharing. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparation, and she came up to the Lord and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." That takes a lot of nerve there, doesn't it? Telling the Lord, you know, you tell her. And she's right there in front of her. But Lord, you tell her. But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary for Mary. Has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her." I like that, don't you? Nothing's going to be taken away from Mary because her heart was where it needed to be at the time. As I was reading, studying for this message, you know, you never know what you're going to come across or read, and I thought I'd heard it all. So I read and studied this, and I thought it was worthwhile sharing because I thought, well, we as people, human beings, we go through stressful moments, but I would never dream that a study and on animal boredom and stress would be a key focus in the world, but it is. Irene Pepperberg, she's a visiting professor of animal behavior of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, is teaching a parrot how to surf the internet. She says that parrots are very social creatures, but people who own them leave them alone 8 and 9 hours a day. She says that leads to boredom, stress, which leads to behavior problems. Now, if you've ever had a parrot, I've never had one, but I know I don't put my hands near them, because they do have behavior problems. If you're anything like my chickens, they have behavior problems. So she is developing a special bird-enabled software, Internet Pet Explorer. So you can go on Internet Pet Explorer and check this out. To make it easier for animals to find sites of interest, such as those showing wildlife and music, or perhaps even chat rooms populated only by animals. Now, can you imagine if you had a dog named Sophie or Snoggles, and it coming up to you and saying, "Dad, can you punch in the credit card number for me? I found some raw chew bones on the internet that will help me to reduce my stress and my boredom. Or can you take a walk with me? I met a bulldog on the internet chat room and just lives right down the street from us." Can you imagine that? Not in a heartbeat, really. But this stuff is real. I mean, you know. So if animals have stress or boredom, what about us as people? We do, don't we? Stress and boredom have led to behavior problems even in our lives. So by looking at this story of Jesus in the home of Mary and Margaret, we will find what is really needed during the Christmas holiday season. Now, I've tried to compile a list of potential things that happen at the time of this time of year, which may contribute to increased stress during the holiday season or Christmas season. And I want you to see if any of these ring a bell with you. And there's no fun intended, but these are things that I thought that maybe a lot of us deal with on a regular basis. Shopping for gifts. Does that cause stress in your life? Not knowing what to get someone or what they need? Getting too busy for the Christmas parties and things? Putting up decorations? Cooking a meal? Now, this was a big deal for Martha, wasn't it? Cooking a meal. Yeah, I heard somebody say this is a big deal. Wrapping gifts? Making enough cookies and breads to give away? Buying Christmas tree? Fighting the traffic? Having enough money to buy gifts? If married, figuring out when to celebrate both sets of parents without offending the other? All the stores are out of gifts you're looking for? Three frightening words, some assembly required. Just read the instructions, you know. Having the right clothes for the social parties or occasions. Gaining weight. Christmas parties for the kids at schools and at church. Now here's one that Brenda can identify with me. Untangling the strands of lights. And this is real. And she's laughing down there. Several years ago, when we lived in Logansport, Indiana, she was going to some kind of meeting or going somewhere, and she left me home alone. And she had bought these Christmas lights. That's when they first came out with all these lights, the streamers, icicle lights. She said, "Make sure you get these all untangled for the time I get back, and we'll hang them." Well, guess what? I worked on one set. I had them untangled all right, but they didn't work anymore. I untangled them too much. Is that correct, Brenda? That's correct. So, boy, it wasn't stressful to me until I did that. Sending out Christmas cards or hearing around Grandma got run over by a reindeer 1,500 times. Cleaning the house. Forgetting someone from whom you should have purchased a gift. Feeling pressure to make a memory. Knowing the year is coming to the close and you didn't accomplish what you wanted to. Or you intended to. Facing relatives you don't want to get, that you don't get along with. I don't know anything about that, but all of your work is due on a rapidly approaching December 25th deadline, and churches and companies all have that problem. Knowing what maybe you've spent on Christmas alone. Three often overlooked words, batteries not included. Being a part of a family that celebrates specially because of circumstances. Christmas lights that don't work. Arranging travel schedules. Missing loved ones who have passed away. Paying off credit cards. Weeding through crowded stores. That is difficult. Members of your family who you find where you hid their presence. And kids do that. They look for those. So when you compile a list like this, it's easy to see why Christmas is a major period of increased stress for many, many people. But it doesn't need to be, does it? Does Christ have anything to say to us in the midst of a hurried season like this, and that we should be so rushed? I don't think so. But it is a party that Martha is preparing a big, huge dinner, and Jesus was an honored guest. Now, understanding what Jesus said to Martha about Mary, it is easy to see that, isn't it? So we should enjoy this Christmas much more when simply focused on what is needed. And here, so let's look at what is stress this morning. In verse 40, it says, Martha said, Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to do the work by myself. Now, I think Martha was experiencing some stress, don't you? I don't think it's as much boredom. She was experiencing stress and rushing around trying to get everything done. After all, Jesus was in her house. And anytime we entertain or have guests, we want to make good impressions, right? We want everything tidy. We want everything just so-so. Incense in the house, smelling good, everything just perfect. Now, is it always that way when you're home alone or just your family? Whatever you do, it should be the same all the time, right? All the time. Tidy and in place. And I could see Martha thinking, does anyone care how busy I am? She comes in the room with kind of a sarcasm like, oh, Mary, dear sister, there you are. Don't bother getting up. Have you heard anybody ever say, if you're unloading the car with groceries or you're busy putting stuff away, you go ahead and do what you're doing. I'll take care of all of this. Have you ever heard that before? I'm sure you have. And Jesus, I wish I could stay and chat like some people, but you're all about freshly crushed grapes. I know that you want something to drink. So I guess I'll just go back to the kitchen where I'm working alone. Kind of like a pity party, isn't it, that Martha is having. So stress is your body alarm system. Whether we realize or not, our body is an alarm system. It warns us of things. No one can live without experiencing some degree of stress. We've all done that. So you might think only serious disease or intensive physical or mental injury can cause stress, but that's false. Crossing a busy intersection, or exposure to a draft, or sitting in a room where you're either too hot or too cold. Is that right? Or even a sheer joy is enough to aggravate the body stress mechanism to some extent. So stress is not even necessarily bad for you. It is often good. It is also the spice of life for any emotion or any activity that causes stress. And there's been a study by the Hans Sear in Stress of Life. There's an article written about that stress can be healthy for you. But stress can be caused by anything that creates a state of excitement or alarm in our system, by anything that motivates our body's defense against hostility, threatening, or even challenging events in our environment. So you see, that is what was going on in the life of Martha. She had a lot of things on her mind, a lot of preparations she had that she thought she needed to get done, and she didn't want to do it by herself. She felt like Mary ought to be in the kitchen with her. But somebody needs to entertain the guests, so, right? Somebody needs to be in. And Mary chose to do what was needed. And Martha could have been in there too. Maybe she could have done some pre-preparation as well. So, what can stress can result from anything that annoys you, threatens you, prods you, excites you, scares you, worries you, hurries you, angers you, frustrates you, challenges you, criticizes you, or anything that reduces your self-esteem. You see, that's a big word in our society, isn't it? Stress, boredom, and those things. So it can be caused by almost anything pleasant or unpleasant. So there's the good side or the not-so-good side of stress in your life. The experts say that getting married is actually more stressful than getting fired from your job. Now, I never thought of it that way. I actually looked forward to getting married and so forth myself. It didn't cause any stress in my life, as far as I know back then. I don't know about you, but retirement is more than twice as stressful as moving to a new residence. And we've all experienced that. Now, think about, I thought, well, how can I demonstrate this to understand the breaking point in our lives? Here's a rubber band. Now, I have a huge one, but I was afraid that thing might pop and snap me, so I decided to use something smaller. But a rubber band is used to stretch, right? And in normal conditions, it will always go back to its original state. But suppose that I keep stretching this and stretching it and stretching it, and it stays stretched. What's going to happen eventually? It's going to snap. Now, I'm not going that far because I know it hurts. I done tried this, and it does hurt when the thing snaps. It pops you. And that's what stress does. But when it's relaxed, see, back in its normal condition, then the stress is relieved. You see, that can happen in our lives, that we get so stressed out that we're like a rubber band. that we're almost beyond our limits a lot of time. But if we can refocus our thoughts, and I understand that, you know, like Mary, think about the positive and the things that are we need in our lives that will help us to experience the peace and sustain us, like Mary. You know, focus on the real reason for Christmas. Focus on the real reason of life. It's not to get stressed out. God, you know, He didn't create that in our lives. We do that ourselves, don't we? We create stress or the things in life ourselves. Therefore, like Mary, she chose the important part of her life, and she wanted to spend that with Jesus. Because Jesus was important. She knew Jesus. But, you know, it's like knowing someone, but getting to know them more personally, to the point that you understand how they think and how they act and how they respond. And Martha was so caught up within herself and her preparations and everything that she thought that would please Jesus. What really pleased Jesus? He wasn't there just for the meal. He was invited, yes. But he was there for the fellowship, for the communion of Mary, because he was invited. If we get invited somewhere, what's our first response? If necessary, and if you can, you go. But you're not expecting to be really entertained. You go for the fellowship. You go for the company, to share. And that's what Mary, that's what her whole idea was, to spend time with Jesus. So if our bodies are repeatedly held in a state of alarm, they will show damaging consequences. There are some symptoms of stress. Frequent headaches, stiffness in the neck. Any of you have a stiffness in the neck this morning? Sleeping on your pillow wrong? Or a jaw, or arms, or legs, hands, or stomach? Irregular heartbeats, getting dizzy or lightheaded? Suffering from colds, flus, or hoarseness? Indigestion? Nausea or discomfort of the stomach, difficulty falling asleep or staying awake, waking up, feeling tired, cold hands, cold feet, excessive perspiration or anger and irritability. You see, all of these are the signs of stress in our lives. See, the holiday or Christmas season can be a period of major stress for a lot of people. It can. But maybe some of us are feeling the effects. You know, I wouldn't be too surprised this morning to find out that a number of us have exchanged heated words with people you care about in the midst of the Christmas preparation. Or I wouldn't be surprised if a few of us said that we are actually dreading instead of looking forward to the next week and a half. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are mentally arranging to do list right now while secretly pretending you're listening to the message. Oh, no, I just thought I'd throw that in. See, it's a difficult time of the year, isn't it? So we've seen what stress is, but what about the cure? What is the cure for the Christmas season? And I love verse 40 where it says, but Martha was distracted by a big dinner she was preparing. That's a New Living Translation. Does that sound like us sometimes? Does it sound like any of you this morning? Peter Donker, and the effective executive says, most of us, the problem is not priorities as much as it is posterities. by which this means what we choose to leave out. That might make a lot of sense, but that's what his terminology or definition of that stress. So the answer too is to be like Mary, isn't it? As I read the scripture and meditated and thought about it, the cure is to respond like Mary. Look what Jesus tells Martha. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. See, she realized spending time with Jesus was more important than external preparation. See, Martha's choice had not been bad. It wasn't bad. Because she was doing something good. But Jesus said, what Mary has chosen is better. So there's good, better, best. So Mary chose what was better. What Martha chose just wasn't the wisest choice at the moment. Why? Because Jesus was there. Jesus is here this morning in our midst. His presence of the Holy Spirit is here. And it is so easily in a setting like this, a worship service, that we can have our minds so busy or working so fast that we're thinking about other things rather than really concentrating on this special moment. You've often hear me say in services or anything that cherish the moment in which you are experiencing, because it won't be another moment exactly like that. And that is true. When precious moments, when special situations, and especially when we're in a worship setting just like this, where the Holy Spirit is at work. You see, there's a three-part series in preparing yourself for worship. All week long, we are to be preparing, reading, studying, praying. And before you enter the doors of this building, You ought to be praying, asking God to bless, to open up your heart and to your mind, to receive a special blessing that is just for you. Because in any message or any scripture that we read, each and every one of us is going to get a different interpretation. But it might be a particular need that you are experiencing that when you read a particular scripture, or you walk through the door and just feel the presence of the Lord in such a special way. I've experienced meetings where that people have come in and we haven't sang, we haven't did a message or anything, and they come down the aisle and say, I want to meet Jesus Christ. I want to invite him into my life as my Lord and Savior. You see, by just walking into the presence of God in a place like this, in his sanctuary, when the heart is right and the conditions is right and the peace is right within the heart, the Holy Spirit is able to do his work. And we respond and see things happen. And that's why Jesus is telling Martha, Mary has chosen the best thing. Don't disturb. Don't take. Don't rob her of this special time. And when we think about our conditions of our heart and the things that's going on within our lives, this is very present in our lives today. See, we never get so busy with the outward things that we neglect quiet and peaceful worship of our Lord. Lucinda Norman wrote an article in Outlook magazine back in December 15, 1996, called An Atmosphere of Calm. And what she did, she described a shopping experience where she was in the store and she was shopping, and there was a 25% markdown on this material in this particular section of the store, and they was going to give you another 10% off of that 25% when you check out. Well, she had this material with the lace on it and everything in her hand, and a lady walks up and she grabs it out of her hand. Well, Lucinda thought, well, why did you do that? So she yanked it back and said, this is mine. And the struggle went on, and finally Lucinda won out. And she thought, as time went on during her shopping, people was rude, standing in line and so forth. And people was being rude and so forth. And as the day went on, she got more aggressive in her thinking, and it caused stress in her life. Where some of the ladies she was shopping with, they went to the mall there and to a restaurant, and she was kind of dry, her mouth, I mean, she was just at her wits, and she called to the waiter and said, I would like some hot tea. And the server turned to her and said, I'm not your waiter, you just have to wait. Well, as she was sitting there, a young man walked by just a few minutes later and came up to their table and said, I'm your server. My name is Rob, and I'll take the drinks that you want now, and then I'll come back later and get your meal. They placed their order, and she watched this Rob walk back, and he stopped. He paused and helped the lady that she just had the confrontation with, helped her with her tray, and helped other staff and other people there in the restaurant. He was going about helping other people, being nice and kind to them. And she turned to the ladies and she said, did you notice that silver band on his arm? They said, no, we didn't. She said, I did. And she said, I had a chance to look at it, and it had the name of Jesus on it. She says, he must have been with the Lord today, because he shows such calm and collective. He is so focused. He's so nice. He's so calm. And by that very incident, Lucinda's whole mindset changed. She said, I'm not going to be like I was earlier. And it doesn't matter what others do or what other shoppers do. I'm going to remain calm. And you see, sometimes when we look at other people and we see the calmness in their lives, see, that's a good reflection, inspiration to where we ought to be. And Jesus was telling Martha, Martha, you need to be more like Mary. Choose the important things for the moment. See, Mary, we don't know the conditions of Mary. Maybe she had a situation that previous week that she just needed to have a close and intimate relationship with Jesus and just his very comfort, his presence right there. And when we find ourselves stressed or bored or whatever circumstances, situations in our life, we can think about that passage of Scripture. Had I rather be like Martha, or would I rather be choose the cure of stress to be like Mary? I would choose Mary, wouldn't you? Her situation. See, God wants us to experience the peace that He brings into this world. He offers that to each one of us today. And the number one thing that can bring you peace in life is having a personal relationship with Him. And see, it is our responsibility after that to keep that fresh. Keep that relationship fresh that we have with Him. If we'll do that, we'll experience the most pleasant experiencing Christmas all year long. Just not now, but all year long. That's what we need in our life. That's what the whole world needs, isn't it? To experience the peace of Christ that will sustain us all the way through eternity. May we pray. Our Father God, we thank You for this day, for Your blessings. And Lord, it's You intended for us, and You do intend for us to experience Your peace. Because when You entered the room where the disciples were seated, they were stressed out. They was worried. They were concerned. They was afraid. But when You entered the room, You say, "My peace I give You. My peace I leave You." That would be enough for me. And I know that would be enough for all of us to hear You speak those words. And You have spoken those words through Your word, the Bible, that we have. And in order for us to experience the pure peace, is have that personal relationship with You. If there's anyone here that doesn't know You personally as their Savior and Lord, Lord, You invite them. Your invitation is for each and every one who doesn't know You or having to say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. I ask You to forgive me, or I failed You." And at that moment, the peace that passes all understanding will enter our hearts and our lives. And we'll know what complete peace is. If anyone's looking for a church home or any prayer need or concern, Your altar is where it takes place. That's where we meet You on our hands and knees. Lord, bless this service today. Open our hearts and our minds to experience true peace. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this